I'll tell you one little funny before I get into the message. Thursday, my son's power went out, so him and Brandy went over to the house. And then last night about 11:30, my power went out. And the tree went over my driveway, so I couldn't drive my car off the mountain to get to church. And if it wasn't for the staff and James, they cleared the tree off his driveway, but his fire's still out. So what I had to do is get in my side by side. Could you imagine me in this red coat and a big, in a side by side, going through the woods about a quarter mile, ice. I confess my sins. I confess Marguerite's sins. And that took me a while. And I want you to know, it was the wildest ride of my whole life. I'd go over to James's, down over his driveway. Then Brother Tyler came and picked me up. And now I've got, as soon as I get done preaching, I have the pleasure and honor to do that again. And then I got to do it again tonight. Pray our power comes on. And pray for my father-in-law. He's near death. And it's been a difficult week, but I'm glad for Jesus. Now, I want all the couples right now, and if your wife's not here, you stand for her. All of our couples to stand up. Would you do that? All of our couples to stand. What a great group of couples. Are you online? You stand too. From this pastor to you here and those online, happy Valentine's Day. God bless you. I hope it's a blessed day for you. Thank you. May be seated. Amen. I love y'all. Proverbs, this is my Valentine's message today. Proverbs chapter 26, or excuse me, chapter 23 and verse 26. I got something on my heart. We know Valentine's Day, we all emphasize the heart. Amen. I told my wife I love her from the bottom of my heart. And by the way, the heart is special. And I'm not talking about that valve that pumps blood in your system. That's not what I'm talking about. So this morning, I want you to look at verse number 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, that's the person. That's every one of us in this room. Man, woman, boy, or girl. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Let me say it again. God wants your heart. And then the place, that's the heart. When I speak of the heart, I'm not speaking to that organ. The heart is the center of all men. The heart is the emotions, the reason, the will. See, when Adam sinned, his spirit fell down to the level of the soul and the body. But when the last Adam came, resurrection's possible. Let me read you another verse of scripture. See, I want you to know we all do this. 1 Samuel 16 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, don't look on the countenance, on the height of the stature, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. See, here's how we measure success, is by what we have on the outside. This is how we measure sometimes how faith effective people are, how what they have on the outside. But I want you to know something. There's something more dear to God, and it's not this old flesh on the outside. It's what's on the inside. It's the heart of man. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to be your usher. And the Holy Ghost is going to be your guide. And I want to preach on this subject. Why God wants your heart. why God wants your heart. Number one, God wants your heart because sin originated in the heart. Before salvation, we were unredeemed people. My Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? I want you to know something. You cannot trust your heart unless your heart's been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't trust your emotions. You can't trust your reason. You can't trust your thoughts. Ain't nothing about us was right until God came in and changed our vile heart. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted with God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, where's lust come from? The heart. It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Can I want you to know something? You know why God wants your heart? Because sin originated in your heart. You got to get a new heart. Hey, somebody help me preach. There ain't nothing to affect a relationship like a new heart. There ain't nothing to affect a marriage like a new heart. There ain't nothing to affect a church like a new heart. Thanks, somebody help me preach. Whew, glory. Number two, glory to God. Why does God want a heart, Jeff? Not only sin originated in the heart, but listen to this. This is good right here. Salvation enters the heart. Somebody help me preach. The Bible said, but what saith it? Romans 10. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. We preach, listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Listen, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'll tell you what happened when Adam sinned. His spirit that had communion with God fell down to the level of the soul and the body. But I want to give you something. How many remember the happy day when the word of God was preached to you and the Holy Ghost came and drew you? How many remember that? See, for the word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of sunder of soul, spirit, and joint and marrow. You know what happened when John Smith placed faith in Christ? You know what happened? God resurrected. Whoa, glory, my spirit, back in communion with him. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, where did it start? It starts in the heart. He's a bunch of crazy Calvinists. I've got to say this. You know what they say? You got to be born again before you have faith. What? Do you know what born again means? It means to get regenerated. It means to get a new nature. It means to get God's righteousness. And right there it says, righteousness comes by faith. How many believe that? Here's what I believe. I believe the Holy Ghost does draw you. I believe the Holy Ghost does reveal it to you. But I want you to know the word of God has to be believed in the heart. You got to believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and trust him as Savior. Somebody help me preach. He didn't predestinate you to be saved and you to be lost. God so loved the world. How's it work? Works down in the heart. Amen. How in the world can that bunch of yahoos think regeneration happens first and then you can have faith and then you get saved? I want you to know something. The moment that I placed my faith in Jesus, I became regenerated. And where did it start? It started in my heart. God didn't save my flesh. God resurrected my heart. God gave me a new heart to love Him. A new will to obey Him. And a new mind to know Him. Somebody ought to praise His name because salvation entered your heart. Whew. Whoa! Praise God! Can I ask you something? Help me remember the day you got saved. Was it glorious? It was something. And it all happened because you believed in your heart. Oh, happy day. Let me go to number three. I got 70, so I got to move it on. Boy, this is good. Sin originated in the heart. Salvation enters the heart. Listen to this. Sanctification begins in the heart. Listen to what the Bible said. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth. You say, what happens? Now look at me. Let me slow down. When you got saved, hold it now. When you got saved, inwardly, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, we were sanctified once for all. You say, where was that? Inwardly. And here's what you got to do every day. You got to let the inward man start affecting the outward man. And that is what I call progressive sanctification. The issues of life. You can't be a good husband. You can't be a good wife unless you are separated unto God and growing every day. Somebody help me preach. You know why families are collapsing, lives are collapsing, this nation's collapsing? Because they got wicked hearts. And we need to have a sanctification happen in the heart. How many still believe we ought to live right and live holy? And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hey, I want you to know something. Don't tell me you're not being sanctified. If you're saved on the inside and being sanctified on the inside, it ought to be showing on the outside. Somebody help me preach. And I want to tell you the blighting Christendom today, I'm just going to say it, is church members without salvation and church members without sanctification. It's a blight. Ain't no wonder the world don't have what Christendom has. But I want to tell you, when old-timey salvation comes in and you get sealed by the Holy Spirit and He starts doing a work of sanctification, you'll be different. Amen. Am I doing all right? I don't usually preach topical, but I'm doing this morning. Is that okay? Number four, Colossians 3:23. Sin originates in the heart. Salvation enters the heart. Sanctification begins in the heart. Listen, but service is performed in the heart. Colossians says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And not unto men. Amen. Now I'm going to say something. I'm going to try to be gentle with this. But I want you to understand it. There is a difference between a servant of God and a laborer of God. A laborer of God is those that everything's conditional. If everything's going all right. They'll serve God until something goes wrong. Then they'll quit. Not a servant. Because, see, a servant ain't doing it to get man's pleasure. I've been preaching here on my 43rd year, and I'm not doing it to get a pat on the back. I'm doing it to please him. I'm talking about heartily. When I first got saved, I told this story before, but it's worth telling again because it's real good. When I first got saved, I got to tell all y'all, I wanted to do something for God. But I wasn't qualified. I ain't been saved long. 2 weeks after I got saved, I'll never forget, Herman Haynes got up and said, "We need a deacon." That's what he said. And I looked over, and nobody was raising their hand. I ain't been saved but 2 weeks. I said, I went to him, I said, "You need one of them? I don't know what it is, but I'll do it." He looked at me and he said, "John David, you're not qualified." No offense. He tried to be sweet to me. "But you're not qualified." And I said, "Okay, I got it." A month or so later, somebody died on the trustee board. He said, "We needed a trustee." I thought, "Well, I trust me." And I said, "I'll bet." He said, "Well, you haven't really been saved a long time." He said, "Do you own any property?" I said, "Well, my dad co-signed for my car." He said, "You're not qualified." I thought, I didn't get mad like some of you. I sit right there where you do, right on front row. And he come up about a month or two later and he said, "I'll tell you what we need." And I was sitting on the edge of my seat. He said, "We have a class downstairs that is covered over with filth. It's got rats in it. And we need somebody to volunteer to clean it." I thought, "Well, I know how to do that." I said, "Can I do that?" He said, "You got it." I went down there. It had rats in there, and I put Decon out, and they gained weight on it. And then I got some of that State Road Rat Killer. You want to kill a rat, you get State Road Rat Killer. It kills them with their eyes open. The next week, they did a primary girls class. Three little girls got saved. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be a big shot. You don't have to have some prestigious thing. You just got to have a heart willing to serve. You know what's wrong today? We got a lot of people that just ain't got a heart willing to serve. Hey, just serve. Just do whatever you can. Get in there and do what you can. And God will bless you for it. But it all starts in your heart. Number five, I'm closing this thing. Aren't y'all glad I don't have subpoints? Listen to this. Y'all with me, Jeremy? Sin originated in the heart. Salvation enters the heart. Sanctification begins in the heart. Service is performed from the heart. But listen. Speech flows out of the heart. Matthew 12. 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If you got a black heart, you got a wicked heart, most likely what comes out of your mouth spews evil. And I want to say something to you marriages and families. There's more abuse than just somebody hitting their partner. No, it's when you abuse them with your mouth and your tongue. Cussing and carrying on and acting like a fool in your home is not right. Cussing and carrying on and acting like a fool in church is not right. There's either, hey, you know what happens if you get bitter? It starts right down in the heart. You said, "What do I need, preacher?" You need your heart fixed. Amen. Get rid of your bitterness. Get rid of your anger. Get rid of all the filth. Yeah. You said, "But I've been hurt." I don't mind. Who hadn't been? Right. But there's no room for that in your heart. Amen. No room for it. Ain't no room to be bitter if somebody's hurt you down the road. Amen. Ain't no room to be bitter if somebody's done you wrong. You know what Jesus said? You got a mouth? Go another one. And I'll tell you what comes out of your heart if you're saved and you're set apart and you're sanctified. Love. Joy. Peace. Kindness. Gentleness. Meekness. Long-suffering. And by the way, it all starts in your heart. What would our churches be? What would our world be if we let our speech be like Jesus' speech? Come on now. And you just can't belittle people and think you're going to get blessed to God. You can't be angry and hurt people and think you're going to be blessed of God. And I want you to know where it comes from. It comes right out of your heart. That's why God wants your heart. Am I preaching? Number six. Sacrifice is made in the heart. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man, listen, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. Sacrifice comes from your heart. You know, there's people in this church have been very kind to me. I mean, real kind. Just recently, somebody got me a set of books, and they know who they are. And I want to tell them again, thank you. I've been using that set. They're awesome. And here, you know why they did it? They said the Lord led them in their heart. I could beat you over the head every week and tell you to tithe, and you're supposed to. But unless you do it from your heart, you're not going to sacrifice. I could push for money to give for a building program. And by the way, y'all have done excellent. And it's got to come from the heart. Because see, if it doesn't, you'll sow sparingly. And you'll reap sparingly. But if you do it from your heart, you'll reap bountifully. You can't outgive God. God gave the ultimate sacrifice. But I want to tell you something happened in my heart when I got saved. And I had somebody disciple me, Bill Lamont, told me, he said, now you need to start tithing. I looked at him and I said, I'll do anything God wants me to do. I had no clue what that is. He said, if you make $100, you give God 10. I understood that. If you make 1,000, you give him 100. He said, you make 10,000, you give him 1,000. You make 100,000, you give him 10,000. That's your tithe. Then you give more above your tithe for missions and faith promise. And you know, that friend of mine told me that. It didn't upset me. It didn't bother me, Brother Chapman. You know what? I wanted to do it. I thought if a God would save me from hell and I'm a debtor to him, why can't I give back to God sacrificially? Because he sure did the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. Somebody help me preach. Amen. Lastly, one of these days, this socialist liberal crowd that's running this place now are going to come after the church. Y'all don't think so? And they may try to come after our Bibles because they hate this. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. Our freedoms are under attack. The liberals and the socialists are out to destroy everything that is good and wholesome and right. But now lastly, scriptures are to be stored in the heart. Listen, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You say, preacher, what have you done to help you if happen to take our Bibles away? I've stored a bunch of it here. I may not quote it word perfect. I'm getting older, but I get it, most of it out. And I want you to know, if I don't have a Bible, when I'm alone, I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. When I'm weak, he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When I feel like I don't have no money or nothing to take care of my needs, he said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He said, how do you know that? I don't need a Bible. I got that stored down in my heart. It won't leave me. It's there for good. Well, somebody help me preach. Can I ask you a question? Can I say something to you? God wants your heart. If you're here lost, he wants to take your black heart and make it red. Amen. For your sins be scarlet. I'll make them white as snow. He'll cleanse you as snow. Amen. If you're here backslidden, he wants to take your wicked heart. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, you made an effort to be here. And I believe God's got your heart. But if he don't have your heart, won't you bring your wife in? Won't you bring your children? Come around the altars and love on each other. And if you're here lost, realize you're unsaved. Realize you're on your way to hell. And there's a God with a big old heart that loves you and wants to save you. And all you got to do is come to him and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. He'll save you. Bow your head with me. How many know that you know that you know? If you died today, you know you're going to heaven. Because you got a new heart. Amen. How many not sure you're saved? Raise your hand if you're not sure. How many right now say, preacher, I'm saved? Boy, but I tell you, I'm not where I ought to be with God. I've done a lot of carnal junk, and I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand. Preacher, sometimes I say bad stuff, and I get angry, and I shouldn't. Pray for me. Sip it up, sip it up, sip it up. Will you stand with me? Maybe you just want to come. I wonder how many come around the altar this morning and just do this. Say, Lord, I love you, and here's my heart. I wonder how many do that this morning. Father, thank you for this service and this message. Bless it now. In Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.